How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Strength there. So, John, that's a unanimous strength. The offense across the board is a strength for the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's move into, John, the roster. I'm going to go through. We'll start on offense, and then we'll go to defense. A couple of these are obvious, but I still want you to give your analysis of the full position group. Let's start offense. Offensive line, Johnny Mack, strength or weakness for the Eagles?
Oh, strength, unquestionably. Yeah, I mean, still, even though you lose a Hall of Fame center,
yeah,
at worst, top five offensive line in the NFL. Got some depth issues, but I thought they had some depth issues last year as well. I don't think there's this, I don't know, some kind of weird, because Jack Driscoll and Sue Opeta left, that the depth isn't as good. Those guys weren't great. I mean, they were capable. But when Sue had to come in for Cam Jurgens, I mean, they were trying to get Tyler Steen ready because Sue wasn't playing great. And then Tyler didn't play great, and they went back to Sue. Jack Driscoll kind of lost his job. You know, if you think about being the swing tackle, he was never really the swing tackle. Fred Johnson would have went in at left tackle. He was the backup right tackle, and obviously struggled at times when he was forced in there for Lane and limited portion. So I don't think it was that great last year. I think it's potentially better this year. A lot of injury concerns with Matt Hennessy, but that guy can play. He's proven he can play. He's proven he can play as a starter in this league. Big caveat on if he's healthy. And Mekhi Becton's got tremendous talent to be a potential swing tackle. So, no doubt about its strength on the offensive line.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I will agree with you on that one. Let's go to tight end. We'll go right from the offensive line out. Start a tight end. This is a tough one for me. I know Dallas Goedert's great, but after that, it's a pretty steep fall off. Tight end, Johnny Mack, strength or weakness?
Yeah, well, everything depends on, because we're going to get into this, we might as well start at a tight end. I mean, if you have a starter as good as Dallas Goedert, it's a strength, period. End of sentence. Would you prefer to be a little bit deeper? Sure.
Yeah.
I do think they'll actually be a little bit better. I haven't seen CJ Uzomah yet. He wasn't at OTAs last week. Hopefully he's back. He's 31. That's a guy who played at a high level in Cincinnati. Got a big deal in free agency. Didn't live up to it. You know why? Because he's a blocker. I mean, he's 6'6", 270.
Right.
And when you sign for big money, they expect numbers and receiving. And I'm surprised more NFL teams don't understand this type of thing. And he's not going to put up huge numbers. But if you look at the the situation last year, this guy's much better blocker than Jack Stoll. So in theory, you should be better, at least in the short term, with CJ Uzomah as the backup. And then third string has been sort of a disappointment from Grant Calcaterra and Albert Ogwegbanam. Both of them will have one more opportunity to prove they can do something. They're getting pushed by EJ Jenkins, who had the play of the week last week. Big seam route down the field from Kenny Pickett. But I'm not sure how relevant he's going to be. McAllen Castles is an undrafted free agent, so you'd prefer to have a little bit more depth, deeper. But I think the top two, Goddard and CJ Uzomah, is pretty darn good, actually.
Yeah, not bad. So let's move on to the good grading. I would agree with what you said, especially the first point about when your star is your star, it's a strength. I mean, that, you know, there's no question about that. Wide receiver, Johnny Mack, obviously, I think this one you just tipped your cap on what your answer will be here, but give us your rundown of the wide receivers.
Yeah, strength, big strength, as long as AJ and Devontae are out there, and then it could fall off a cliff. So it depends how you want to do it, but I mean, anytime, I say it all the time, the best pure football player on the Philadelphia Eagles is AJ Brown, has been since he's gotten here. Devontae Smith is in the conversation for being the best wide receiver two in the NFL, or 1A, or whatever you want to call it. He's been tremendous. You'd like a little bit more certainty from that third receiver. Probably going to be Paris Campbell. We'll see how it shakes out over the summer. They're not tied to Paris Campbell. They only gave him a $1.3 million. So if somebody develops quickly, whether that's Anaya Smith getting healthy, whether and that's the more likely route because he's a slot receiver. Johnny Wilson's more of an outside guy, but yeah, the depth is a concern. But anytime you have AJ and Devontae, I mean, yeah, nobody's going to feel sorry for you.
Yeah, I'm with you. What do you have to say about the rebuttal that having two guys that good, or even one guy, AJ Brown, makes your offense predictable? I hear that sometimes, and I certainly do not agree. Like, if I'm predictable, okay, good, stop it. You know, like, yeah. AJ Brown a slant, okay, good, you know it's coming, that's fine, now stop it. You know, that's how I view it, but maybe some people don't always view it like that. They think it makes your offense predictable. And I will say, you could argue there's other teams in the league that would not suffer nearly as much if they lost wide receiver one as much as the Eagles would if they lost AJ Brown. Example, maybe the Chiefs or even the Packers or somebody like that. I think it's a resounding strength, and there's no debate about it. But what do you have to say about, you know, it making you potentially a predictable offense?
I'd point to Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy's the one, you know, when the Cowboys were the Cowboys, how about them Cowboys winning Super Bowls? Everybody knew what was coming, and they couldn't stop it. So, you know, that's to the point you want to get. They were among, you know,
Now I'm mad at myself, John. I'm debating Dan Cilio about this, and I could have threw his favorite coach right back in his face and shut him up with a Jimmy Johnson reference. Good call by you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody knew Emmitt Smith was getting the football. Nobody could do anything about it. And he had three running plays, and everybody knew what was coming, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't do anything about it. That's true greatness, by the way. When everybody knows what is coming and they can do nothing about it. Now, can the Eagles lean on that? No, they proved that they're not that good, but they did have that, whatever it was, 20, I looked it up the other day, 29-3, I think, stretch. They won 29 of 32 NFL football games.
Hard to win games in the NFL. That's a big feat right there.
And that's with the same group, the same stale offense, the same predictability, the same, you know, if you execute it, you're fine. Now, I'm not comparing them to those Cowboys teams, but that's the greatest run of Eagles football in history, certainly in the modern era. I'm not going to Ray Diddy it and go back to 1949 and 50, but certainly in the modern era, that is the greatest stretch of Eagles football ever played, ever. They were dominant. They were expected to win every game. They did basically win every game. 29-3 is pretty stinking good. You know, I look at it the opposite way. Oh, and I always bring up Doug Peterson because Doug was taking some shit about not getting the football to Mac Hollins, and he lost it one day. And he's like, "Why the hell am I going to design plays for Mac Hollins?" He called him the sixth option. Nothing against Mac Hollins.
He's a
nice guy, and he's still sticking around, doing a good job. Made a good NFL career for himself. Has always been a good special teams player. But yeah, the incessant nature of you got to get other people involved. Nobody's saying about Chicago Bulls, hey, Michael Jordan, you got to get other people involved. You know, in the flow of the game, that's how you get other people involved. When teams are trying to double AJ, trying to double Devontae, and somebody else, you get them involved.
When your number's called, step up.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll never understand that mentality from people.
I agree. Let's move to running back. So right now we got O-line strength, tight end strength, wide receiver strength, running back.
It's strength. That'll surprise a lot of people because they think I hate Saquon. I don't hate Saquon. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me from the Eagles' typical way of doing things, which is a lot different from he's a bad football player. He's a very good football player. It's very similar to wide receiver in that it's very top heavy. I also think Kenny Gainwell's maybe the best backup. We were talking about this with BLG. I know Eagles fans hate him. He might be the best depth player the Eagles have. I think he's a very good player. The Eagles coaches trust him implicitly. So I think those two guys are solid, and then it kind of falls off a cliff. But again, if you have a star at the position, it's a strength.
Do you think the numbers game of the NFL and the business of it is going to make Kenny not come back here when his contract's up? I mean, they drafted Will Shipley. He's a very similar guy. I know you said they like Kenny Gainwell a lot, but they're already over their heels and how much they've invested into running back compared to what they're used to. I don't know if they're going to pay Kenny Gainwell to stick around.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of dependent on what happens this year. Obviously, if Saquon is healthy and he's a three down back like everybody expects him to be, I don't think there's any doubt Kenny's going to walk, maybe to find a bigger role somewhere else. And that's part of the reason why they drafted Will Shipley. But you know, and it's one practice, so I don't want to overstate it, but Will's got a way to go before he can catch Kenny.
That's what it sounds like. And that's not just you that's saying that. That seems to be a lot of people saying that. Let's go to last position on the offense, John. This one might be pretty simple as well. Quarterback.
Strength. No doubt about it. I think it's better this year than last year because, I think Jalen's going to do a better job taking care of the football. And I think that alone will solve a lot of the problems on offense. But I think Kenny Pickett's a much better backup than Marcus Mariota. Much better backup. So from that standpoint, you don't want him on the field. You don't want him to play. Hopefully Jalen Hurts is healthy for 17 games in a playoff run. But if he's not, I think they're even better equipped to persevere for a game or two with Kenny
Pickett. Yeah, I like the quarterback room this year. I like Kenny. I like the addition of Kenny Pickett. I think having a guy like that has pedigree, he has experience. I'm sure he can run a Kellen Moore offense. You know, maybe look a little different than Jalen Hurts, but I do like the quarter. I think it's an upgrade for sure from Marcus Mariota, who I wasn't so comfortable with.
Yeah.
Kind of looked like he lost his arm. Kind of, you know what I mean? He looked like he was kind of kicking the can at that point. I don't know where Marcus is now or if he's
Washington. Washington. He always wants to go to the West Coast and he lives on, and now he's got to be on the East Coast again. But Marcus, really nice guy. I'm with you. Just the arm talent's not there at this stage of his career. Kenny, very young quarterback, obviously. 2022 first round pick. 24 starts already. That to me is big.
Yeah.
And he won a lot of them. So the numbers weren't great. And I get people are going to attack it from that standpoint. And I'm not trying to say he's going to push Jalen Hurts or he's going to be a star quarterback. I'm saying as a backup, I'm very comfortable with him as a backup because all you want from your backup is to be able to persevere and try to go about maybe winning some games in a different way, in a different fashion. If you lose a star quarterback, you're up against it. But I think the Eagles would be better equipped to win football games with Kenny Pickett than Marcus Mariota. So I think it's an upgrade.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem if he's going to give Jalen Hurts. And when I say competition, I don't mean competition to start. I mean, give him good play. Give him something to fight for in practice. Competition makes people better all around, no matter what. It's like that's one of my favorite things about the young corners on this team. Quinyon Mitchell is going to be a lot more game ready from playing across A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith than if he was playing across Joseph Nada and John Ross. So, you know, competition is a good thing and will help push that along. So I think Kenny Pickett is a big upgrade. I would agree with you. Strength there. So, John, that's a unanimous strength. The offense across the board is a strength for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I mean, you know, if you just go, you know, Pro Bowl level players, they have a Pro Bowl level quarterback, yeah. Pro Bowl level running back, a Pro Bowl level tight end. Four of the five offensive linemen are because Cam Jurgens was a Pro Bowl alternate. Maybe yeah, you're stretching right. It a little bit.
Yeah. But he still got it. Still got to give him it.
Yeah. Still get, you know, maybe a little bit downtick from where it typically is, but you still have Lane and Jordan and Landon Dickerson, who are really high level players. And you have two Pro Bowl level receivers. I mean,
yeah.
Their offense is really good on paper.
I hope everybody remembers this. So when we're nitpicking the offense of wide receiver 4 and 5, they know that we're nitpicking. We got to be nitpicking a little bit. We're doing a show 2 hours a day, every single day, all through the offseason. So there will be nitpicking on the offense, but pretty dang good offense. Pro Bowlers all over the yard, as Johnny Mac just pointed out. John, let's go to the defense. We'll start with defensive tackles. I'm going to split up the tackles and the ends. DT.
Still a strength. Very similar. And I'll go interior defensive line from the perspective of how the Eagles play their defense. And we talked about that with their fronts and their variable fronts. And they'll start with Jordan Davis at nose tackle. And the 4-eye techniques will be Jalen Carter and Milton Williams. And so those will be the starters. Is it a little bit of a downgrade? Certainly, because Fletcher was still playing at a high level. And that would knock Milton Williams down to a really good reserve. And now you have a little bit more issue when you're talking about depth and who's going to be that next guy to step up. And is it going to be Marlon Tuipulotu? Is it going to be Moro Ajomo? Is it going to be even PJ Mustafa, somebody like that? It's hard to be completely comfortable, although I think Marlon's a pretty good player. But until he does it for significant snaps, it's hard to count on it. So it's not as good as last year, but I still think it's a strength.
A strength, but it has projection. There's a lot of projection involved. Like offense, I know AJ Brown, Devontae Smith are great. Defensive tackle, we're still kind of in wait and see territory. Even for Jalen Carter, I know he showed a lot, but we do need to see a full season. It was only year one, so let's see what he can do. But I am with you. I do think it's a strength, and I think Jalen Carter will be the best player on that.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't know we were going to – we've had the Jordan Davis discussion, but, boy, I don't think there's a lot of projection with those two players. I don't.
Really? You think Jordan Davis has reached – not reached, I know what you're saying, but he's going to be he's going to be good at what he's asked to do.
He's really good at what he's asked to do, and I think he's going to get better. So to me, that's not much of a projection. And Sam Munson from PFF happened to put this up on his Twitter yesterday. This is insane from two perspectives.
Yeah, I think I saw this.
And it's total pressures when lined up as a true nose tackle over the last two seasons. Number one, Dexter Lawrence, and this is unbelievable from Dexter's standpoint, who is a great, great player, 81. Number two is Derek Brown, who's also a great player, 16. There are not a lot of nose tackles that generate significant pressure. Christian Barmore, 16. Raekwon Davis, 15. Jordan Davis, 14. He's fifth in the NFL, and he's two away from being second in the NFL. I don't know what people expect from a nose tackle. Again, forget about 13th overall pick. Forget about your thoughts on what you think he should be. He does his job at a very high level. To me, that's not projection. Does he need to be on the field a little bit more? Yes. We talked about the conditioning part of it from Georgia, Jalen Carter as well. And then I go back to Big Banjo when you talk about Jalen Carter and ask about whatever role we use in it, he's going to be successful because he's just that good.
Yeah.
Now, again, conditioning, how much can he be on the field? You want him on the field more.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat. Literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That's a big question mark. Those are legitimate questions. But about those two guys as players, I don't think it's projection at all. At all.
Johnny Mac, confident in the defensive tackles. Good to hear. I do think they're two good players. I'd love to see them really turn the page and take over this defense, the defensive front now without Fletcher Cox up there. But a big drop in snaps. Fletcher took almost 700. So we will see how it looks. John, let's go to the defensive ends, namely Bryce Huff, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, Nolan Smith. This one's a little tough for me. I don't know what you think of it, but
yeah, I'm more lukewarm about this group. I wouldn't say it's a weakness, but
it's a push. Yeah.
It's kind of like a push. Now if Bryce Huff turns into the player the Eagles think he is, or they think he's going to become, they can turn in a positive direction really quickly. Josh Sweat's going to have to have a bounce back, certainly season, although he's really good in the first half of the season, kind of fell off. So he had a career high in snaps. So whether it's other people, Nolan Smith, most notably, can maybe take some of the workload off of him, or he can handle the workload. BG, you know, I mentioned it before on the show. This is it for BG. So I think a lot of people are saying he's going to play less. I'd play him more as long as he's healthy and willing. And I know he's willing.
Yeah, we know that.
He still plays at a high level. So I think this being his last season could actually help get him on the field a little bit more. And then Jalex Hunt's going to be on the team, but I think is more of a developmental prospect, as we said. So yeah, those are your five major guys on the edge. And I would say push right now, dependent on Bryce Huff and Nolan Smith. So when you talk about projection, that to me is a projection. And I think Huff has got a chance to be really good, but we got to see it first.
Yeah. Projection, potential, it all means they haven't done it yet. So I'm with you on there. I would push on that position, and I would even lean closer to weakness than it's like the drill of like if you had to go up or down, I would even probably lean weakness just because I'm not convinced we're going to replace the production of Hassan Reddick. And I think Josh Sweat might, I don't know, he's going to have a bigger role or the same role, but hopefully less snaps because he was burnt out. But if you had to push one way or the other, what would you do?
Probably push downward like you. You know, I got to see Nolan Smith and see he can stay healthy and see he can be a big part of it. I think Bryce is going to be fine. It's just a matter of how good. Is he going to be Hassan Reddick? Probably not. But, you know, again, are we talking Hassan Reddick of 2022 or Hassan Reddick of 2023? I would argue Hassan Reddick of 2023 wasn't good enough. So I think
still
a lot of
people. Though. I mean, he was a productive player. So you're looking for that production.
Well, if you're taking, is Bryce Huff going to get 11 sacks this year? I would bet the over on that.
I probably would too. Boy, I tell you what, though, the one funny part about this position.
If he's healthy, I always have to say that. Well, yeah. Obviously, you got to play.
That's a stipulation in any football conversation, right? The one interesting part about the edges, I will say, though, is if Nolan Smith is able to take a big jump, I think this position turns to a strength real quick. Now, Bryce Huff would also have to pan out like we're hoping he's going to pan out. But if Nolan Smith can turn the corner and start to be a real NFL edge, that all of a sudden would come a strength. And then I think they would move on from Josh Sweat and probably put not at the end of the year and put him right up there. Let's go to the next position, linebacker. I think I know where you're going to go here, but I'll give you a chance to reveal
the
it.
The first weakness, you know, there, no matter how you spin it, it ain't good. And the hope is Nakobe will be healthy and become what the Eagles thought he was coming out of Georgia. Not much evidence of that to this point. Devin White, I know people are excited about because he was once the number 5 overall pick. But again, I've seen too much in Tampa to assume it's going to magically turn in Philadelphia. And Zach Bond, you know, Vic Fangio seems to believe in him, but he's never done it. Off-ball linebacker, he played mostly on the edge when he did play, and he didn't play that much in New Orleans. Oren Burks is a good backup special teams linebacker. Jeremiah Trotter's a fifth-round pick who ran a 4.82. You know, so he's undersized to play middle linebacker. He's too slow to play weak side linebacker. You know, who knows from that standpoint. But, no, obvious weakness.
Yeah, that's the first one that's a glaring weakness on the team, I would say. Let's move to the next position here, safety.
Safety's interesting. I would say weakness. You know, it's interesting. I don't think it's a glaring weakness. Yeah. One, CJ's a playmaker. But I think, again, and I remember having these discussions with Mike on the radio all the time, Mike Gill, about how many guys had career seasons in 2022. And CJ was at the top of the list. And it was a long list. And the assumption that he's going to have the year he had in 2022, this season, that's pie in the sky type of stuff. He led the NFL in interceptions, and he missed whatever it was, 5 or 6 games. You can hope, but, I mean, the more realistic end game is he's going to be a good player. And then Reed, I think, is underrated. But, you know, he's solid, not spectacular. And Sydney is going to be back from the ACL relatively early in the season. I think he's a solid backup. So there's some upside to it. And again, I think that Bourse safety is probably going to be more of a versatility type thing with Abonte and Cooper DeJean.
I think that's the route they're going to go. I'm not sure, obviously, but based on the way you explained it, that makes the most sense, I think, for that back end.
Yeah, then it gives you an opportunity to keep an extra corner. And I think that's the way they'll probably think about it when push comes to shove. And then you can manipulate things. Once you get down to the 53, you get people back on the practice squad. You can manipulate things if you need a traditional safety. And how he's done that in the past since they changed the rules. So I think that's the way they'll go to try to keep that extra corner and keep them away from waivers, whomever that might be. So overall, I would say it's a slight weakness. It's not a terrible weakness. But I would lean more towards, you know, for 50-50, I'd probably be 51-49 weakness.
So close, right, edging on push, but leaning sort of toward the weakness. I'm with you on that position. I would agree. That's basically the exact analysis, similar analysis I gave, when I was asked the question. So, I'm struggling with on the safety position is, and I know we always say this, you can't stipulate injuries, but they've all been injured a lot. So I don't, you know, CJ Gardner-Johnson's great, but he has been on the field a lot in the last couple of years. So if he's not on the field, you know, it's not great. It doesn't matter if he's not on the field. So we'll see how it all plays out, but that is definitely something that's sticking with me at safety. John, what do you think of the cornerback room, strength or weakness?
This is an interesting one because it's all projection, basically. Yeah. My assumption is James will not be here. So you have one proven commodity and a bunch of guys who everybody thinks can play. And when you have a bunch of guys, that's a good thing because I guarantee two things. One of them will be able to play, and all of them will not be able to play, get my point.
I do. Not everybody will be good. Exactly.
Yeah. So they have a lot of darts to throw at the board, so to speak, and one of them's going to hit. And, you know, hopefully it's Quinyon Mitchell, but if it's not, hopefully it's Cooper DeJean, and if it's not, hopefully it's Kaylee Ringo, and if it's not, hopefully it's Eli Ricks, and on and on and on as you go down. Isaiah Rogers throw in there as well. Who you know can probably play at least at a competent level. So I think the upside is great, but I think the early season may not be that great, if that makes sense, because you're going to have a bunch of young corners trying to learn on the job, a very difficult defense, a very complicated defense. So I think early it might be a weakness, and by late in the season, it might be a strength. So I'm kind of hedging there.
Yeah.
Overall, I would say strength because I think long-term is more important than immediacy. And I think a lot of teams would look at those young outside corners and say, boy, I wish I had some potential like that. But it is just potential.
Even on the shorter timeline, John, of – you know, forget years in the future. If what you said is true, where they start slow and they end good, I'd rather have that, right? Like, I want them playing good when we need them to play good down the stretch at the end of the year. So if they can do it that, then I do think it's a strength. Boy, a lot of projection there, though, John. And we'll see. I mean, I'm optimistic on the two young guys with Cooper and Quinyon, but we'll see. And to me, am I wrong on this? It kind of seems like the way the cookie's crumbling – we obviously know Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, whether they suck in year one or not, they're not going anywhere. Darius Slay is a lock. It kind of seems like Kelee Ringo and Isaiah Rogers are two that are going to be battling for playing time. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah. Well, Kelee's interesting because, you know, I could see him being a star and I could see him off the team in a year.
Why? Is that a player characteristic thing? Is it a want to? Is it a lack of desire?
He's very raw. So you have to see how it develops. He was very young coming in. He probably should have stayed one more year in college.
Yeah. He was 21, coming in, right?
I think if he did, he would have been a higher draft pick than Quinyon Mitchell. I truly believe that. He's got so much talent. But he came in very, very raw. He wasn't a great practice player last year. That's got to change, especially under Vic Fangio. And I don't know. He's 21 now. He's only 21.
So he came in at 20.
Yeah. I don't know how he's going to approach his job. If he approaches it like Darius Slay, he's going to be a star. He's going to be a flipping star. AJ Brown mentioned it as a 20-year.
Yeah, right.
He was like, and this is AJ Brown.
Like he's got the inherent talent inside him to be a star in the NFL.
It's like he's a pain in the ass in practice because he's so gifted. I am so high on Kelly Ringo. If he has those things that I have no idea. I've talked to him numerous times. He's very smart. He understands seemingly what he needs to do. And I'm very hopeful. And I've been very high on him. And if he applies that work ethic to his and couples it with his gifts, he is going to be a star. And I mean a big time cornerback one in this league. But development is a real thing. And the guy's just gifted, man. He is. And I think, so much of the NFL is based on where you were drafted, and he was expected to be, a lot of people thought he'd be a, early in the process, at times during last year's process, a lot of people had him as a bridge pick early, maybe late first round, early second round, later. You know, most people had him as certainly a day two pick going into the draft, and the Eagles traded up at the top of the fourth round to get him and gave up a future third round pick. But he is very young. He was the youngest player drafted last year. Among the young, he might have been the youngest player in the NFL.
Scheme for Keeley? Is a good scheme fit for him? Because I think that could maybe either help or hurt him.
Well, that's the thing. He's raw, but he's so gifted. I mean, in theory, he'd be better in a press coverage.
Yeah, more that's
a
what press it sounds coverage like, system. Yeah.
In theory, but that's in theory. I mean, when you're that gifted, you should be able to keep your eyes on the quarterback, break on the football. You know, he's 6'2". He's got all the length you need, and people love, lengthy quarterbacks. Just from a physical standpoint, he's certainly what you want in an outside cornerback. He's certainly more of that than even Quinyon is as a first round pick. You know, Quinyon, I think, ran a 4.33. He ran a 4.36, and he's bigger. And also, in the limited time, he got at the end of last season, he was really good in run support. So
he's a physical player.
Yeah, he's really physical. If you look at the broad jump and vertical jump, Quinyon might be a little bit more explosive, but they had the exact same broad jump. So, he's going to get more. He's going to fill in his frame more as he gets older and becomes hopefully a better NFL player.
Yeah, he's only 21. I mean, there's a lot to go for that. There's a lot of time to go for him to be able to fill that out. Is there
but anything- I mean He's got to play better in practice. He's got to play better in practice. Yeah. He seems to me like a game day player. And that's not going to be a problem.
Maybe Vic Fangio will change that for him.
Yeah.
Excuse my ignorance on this, but is there anything in football that relates or is similar to the box and one in basketball where you play a zone defense, but you have a guy that goes after LeBron James or whoever it might be, the star on the other team. Like, let's say we're playing the Vikings and we want to stop Justin Jefferson.
There's tons
of Gilly Ringo on him, you know, if he's that good at impress or
no, not really
like that, right?
There's guys that travel. I mean, and travel, but the problem with traveling that I think a lot of people don't realize and why a lot of, and some, you know, cornerbacks do it. Darius has done it. I'm going to get in trouble. Sorry, Slay. Slay has done it. And he can do it. And he did it more in Detroit than he does it here. But when you travel with people, remember, you're also putting other people in the back seven in positions they're not used to dealing with. So,
right.
You know, you're affecting a bunch of pieces by doing that. So some coordinators don't like that at all.
Yeah, and I think if you're an offensive coordinator, you could use it to your advantage to get them out of position.
And some don't mind it and say, all right, we got to shut down so-and-so, and we got to use our best cover guy. And the other guy's got to persevere. So it kind of dependent. But, yeah, there's all kinds of and Vic is at the forefront of that. I mean, probably too many zone coverages. And a lot of them will look on the field at times like man coverage because they're man match coverages where you essentially take the guy like it's a man in your zone, but then you pass him off, which creates a lot of miscommunications, especially with younger quarterbacks, a lot of blown coverages. They don't pass them off, or they do pass them off when they're not supposed to pass them off. So it can be very complicated. But and that's part of the projection with the young corners.
Yep. So let's get to our commercial break. We went long here, Les. Sorry about that. We see you in the green room. We're going to get to you right after the break. But just to recap our strength weakness segment, offense was a resounding unanimous strength at every position group. Defense was a little different. Two position groups got strength, defensive tackle and cornerback. Two got weakness, linebacker, safety, and defensive end was a push. So defense, I'm giving it a push. We're right around even right now. It's not a strength for our team, but kind of about what I thought. You know, we thought we're hoping this team is a middle of the pack defense. So about what I thought. Well, so that wraps up that segment. Good stuff from Johnny Mac. Good breakdowns there on players that I didn't expect to talk about. So good stuff from Johnny Mac. Let's get to our commercial timeout. Les Bowen coming up next on Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.